Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamualaikum. Oh, all right, let me. Sure. Assalamualaikum and welcome to the show. I'm the producer, Hasana. We are waiting for our host, Nisad, to be able to log in. Nisad, if you could actually call in the guest line and I can bring you up. So the guest call-in number is 516-387-1905. 516-387-1905. Call in that way, and I can certainly bring you into the show. Sorry, thank you all for your patience as we are working out the kinks for the show. We're all just learning, so we really appreciate your patience. And so we are going to get started with our show. We have a couple of callers. Thank you all for your patience. We're going to wait for our host to get call in, and the call in number is 516-387-1905. And then we look forward to you having, you all calling in. So tonight's discussion that we're going to continue with is talking about virtual learning, how teachers and parents are coping. And so wanted to just reach out and find out how everyone is coping with this. Just waiting for our host to call in. And then while we're waiting for us, our host to call in, just wanted to speak to everyone and see how is everyone coping with COVID. This is just a really difficult time, and we just really have to persevere. So let's take some calls while we wait for our host to call in. Assalamu alaikum, you're on the air. May I have your name? Hello?
Yes, hello. Are you talking to me? I mean, I'm holding on.
Yes, hi. We're still waiting for our host to call in. What is your name?
Oh, okay. I'm Wadia. My name is Wadia.
Assalamu alaikum, Wadia. I'm Hasan. It's so nice to meet you. So tell me a little bit more about, give us some information about yourself, your background, and tell us a little bit more about how you're dealing with homeschooling and virtual learning.
Well, actually, I'm not dealing with either of those. I'm 73 years old. I have no children in school at this moment. But my daughter does, and she doesn't even live here in New York, but they are homeschooling. I really just tuned in to hear what was going on, to tell you the truth. So I probably don't have much. I'm sorry?
Assalamualaikum,
sister Wadia. Who's that, Nisa?
Yes.
Assalamualaikum.
I'm supposed to be the host, but it blocked me out, so.
No, you never locked out. We're just holding on. I was just saying that I don't have any experience firsthand with homeschooling at the moment, but, I really want just to listen in and see what's going on. If anything, I could help my daughter with any suggestions that people come up with. Otherwise, I don't know what else to say.
Is your daughter homeschooling?
She has a 5-year-old, so she's working at home, and then she has a college student, but he's doing his own thing. And so, yeah, so she's doing both, working, homeschooling,
and
I guess.
We're going to have a teacher on in about 5 seconds, and she's going to give us some resources and things on how you can, better deal with virtual learning.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was going to maybe hope to hear some things. I share them with her.
Okay, I'm going to send you the link because the message should have had a link, but I'll send you the link to listen in if you just want to listen in.
Okay. All right, then. Inshallah. Thank you. I got it already, so I'll do it that way.
Okay.
Thank you for calling.
All
right. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam. Okay, so we have Miss Wadia. Miss Marcia on the line, and she's going to be our speaker for today. And we have another person on hold. Hassana, do you know who the other person is?
I do not know. So, unfortunately, it's not giving me the ability to screen the call, but let me just see if I can. Again, we just really appreciate all of your patience.
Yes, thank you, because this is new for both of us, and we're just trying to deal with technical issues. The first day we did it, we had no issues, but now it's like we're having problems. So let's have Ms. Marcia. Marcia?
Yes?
Can you hear me?
Marcia? Yes.
Okay, good. All right, so I know you were with us last week, and thank you so much for joining us again, and thank you for your patience while we deal with this technical issue. Just want to introduce yourself again and just let us know, you know, where you're calling from, your school. You don't have to say the school specifically, but the region in which you work in.
Yeah. Hi, good afternoon.
Okay.
Good evening, everyone. Assalamu alaikum. My name is Marcia Little, and I'm a teacher in Yonkers in New York. I've been a teacher for the past 30 years. I teach high school social studies, and I like it. I still enjoy teaching every single day. I like going to work. I enjoy my students. But before we go on, I just want you to know that I'm a mother too. I have a daughter that's graduated college, and I have a son that's in high school. So my son is in high school. He is doing hybrid learning 2 days a week. But because he's supposed to do hybrid learning, but because he has an IEP, I got him to go to school every day because found it necessary. Now, one thing I want to talk to the parents about tonight is the importance of advocating for your students, for your child. The only way you get a no response is if you do not ask the question.
Right.
If you ask the question, they have to respond to you. And something else I want to talk about is keeping an electronic. So those are two things I want to really discuss today. Advocating for your child and keeping an electronic file of what has transpired. I know people like to call. Don't call. Put it in writing. Email. You must, all the teachers must respond to their email within a few like 48 hours. And if respond to their email, then you have the right now to forward that email to the principal and ask the principal, you know, CC him and say, let's not be combative or anything, because, you know, like, we know the squeaky wheel gets the oil, but they also say you catch more flies with honey than with vinegar. So just say to the principal, you know, I'm not sure if Miss such and such got the message, but on such and such a day, and you forward it to the principal, then I bet you get a response right away. You know, so those are two things I want you to have today for me. The first one is advocate for your child. If I did not ask my son's principal, can he come 5 days a week? He would only be going 2 days, and that's not the proper learning style for my learner. Right. A lot of times, the reason why I'm able to get certain things for my kids, my personal student, is because I keep everything in folders every year. Folders 2021, all my emails, everything goes in that folder. I have easy access to it. You know, and in the folder, I keep another folder of a teacher within the folder. Do you understand what I mean?
Right. So you got to basically be a little organized when it comes to your child and their learning needs, right? Because if there's information that you feel like you need and you're not getting, or resources that you feel like you need and you're not getting, you have to be an advocate for your child, and you have to stay on top of them, and you should put it in writing. When you get those letters back from the teachers or staff, you should put them in a file, right?
You absolutely have to. You absolutely have to. It's imperative that you do, because you have to be prepared. Do not, absolutely do not rely on the school system to educate your child. You are your first child's first educator, and you never lose that job. My daughter is 26 years old, and at this rate, she's trying to do something, and the first thing she did is come and have a talk with me to sit down so we could plan it. They always need us. They never grow. I am. I still call my mother every day to get her advice. We never, ever, ever outgrow being needed by our to do whatever. You are their first educator and their best advocate. No one knows your kid better than you. No one.
Right. That's true. So what are some resources that children could? I'm sorry.
What did you say?
What are some resources that the parents can get, I guess, to help their child or children with virtual learning or outside of virtual learning?
Could you type the resource that I said? I saw other things, but this is the best one I thought for what our topic is. Because last week is there a chat that you could put it in and then they could just press on the link I sent you, or you want me to say the website?
No, say it, because I will have to go back into it later and then put it on.
Okay, let me grab it. It is called quarantinetutors.org.
Quarantine tutors.
Yeah, just spell the word one. Quarantinetutors.org. It is a free tutoring. They come on Zoom with your kids, and whatever topic it is, and it's free, they will help you. Tutors.org. I have all my nieces on it. My nieces, my nephew, my son, they're all on it.
Okay,
and you
that's
get a set time that you could go on with a personal person. You get, like, I think either a half hour, 45 minutes, I forget how long. And you could bring them, and whatever topic, you as a parent, you play a pivotal role too, because you get to talk about, maybe you're not letting the tutor work on a specific subject that they have in school, but rather you might have them work on a specific skill that you think your child is missing. Like one of my cousins, her daughter was working on reading comprehension. And that's what they do, reading comprehension all day, inferences and stuff like that. And that's what her tutor is working on. That's not a homework assignment that she's lacking. And as she gets older, that's a skill that's necessary. You know, my nephew is working on that. So, different things. So that's one of the best resources I think I could bring to you. And I think it's so apropos because it's called Quarantine Tutors. You know, because what I'm concerned about is that children in the Black and brown communities are going to have gaps in their learning. They're going to have gaps.
Right. But before you touch on that topic, because that's a very important topic that we want to finish from last week, Marcia, let's just see who else is on the line. And then we're going to come right back to you, okay?
Perfect.
So we're going to take a call from a wonderful caller with the area code of 267. We're going to see what they have to say. I'm going to bring them on right now.
Okay, thank you.
Assalamu alaikum, and you're on the air. Hello, caller,
Hello?
Are you there? Thank you for calling. Okay, well, we're going to, we can mute them. We have another caller in area code 570. So we're going to go ahead and bring that caller on. Assalamu alaikum, and you're on the air. Thank you for calling.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Can everybody hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Assalamu alaikum.
This is Sister Hodala. I wanted to just make a statement about with the help that the children are getting. Some children definitely are able to get in school and the help they're receiving, but a lot of children, it is so difficult for them to be motivated.
Can you speak up a little bit louder, Bella?
Yes. Can you hear me better?
Yes.
So what I was going to say is, you know, what I would try to wish we can focus more on a little bit more is how can we get our children to be motivated and, you know, responding to cyberschooling or to homeschooling, because that's one of the huge issues that many children are having, even kids who have those resources. What can we do for them to keep them motivated and do well and, you know, and keep going? So, because for me, I got to tell you, like, I my children love school, and they have all the resources. The teachers called in. They have face-to-face online, but it still didn't work for them. They didn't want to log in. They didn't, you know, they didn't have that motivation to log in. And, you know, and it didn't work out for them to where I had to have a meeting where they have to go 4 days versus 2 days, because it doesn't work for every children. So the only thing I would ask is, how do we get the kids to be motivated? What can we do to keep them motivated, you know, despite the resource that they have, you know?
That's a good question.
That's something that I think we need to, like, find a result for.
Right, right, motivation. Well, Hasana, can we go back to Marcy and just see what motivation he may have for the children to answer Hodala's question, and then we'll come back to you.
Marcy, are you still there? It seems like she should still be on. Marcy, are you still there?
I'm still there.
Yes, great.
And that's the topic that I touched on last week, and and I thought about it some more. Last week I said that a lot of times kids react to the parents, and the parents have to have a positive attitude towards remote learning, and I know it's hard. It is not easy at all, right? But I also did some more thinking about it, and I researched it a little bit too, and what I realized is that kids need routine. And if they need, they have to, you have to get them up every day. They need to sit in a certain place. Their setup has to be good so that they could feel like they're going to school. It cannot be in their room. I don't think that their room is the best place sometimes, unless it's the only place for them to be in school, because it's too comfortable. We do such a good job these days, our children comfortable, making sure they have everything we need. That it's just too comfortable. School is not comfortable.
Right.
You have to get up, sit up, have to have the posture ready to learn, you know? And so sometimes it's motivated when your bed feels so good. You have that really plush pillow top. I don't know what people have, but I'm just saying, it's sometimes so comfortable. We have to get them up and, listen, get dressed.
Right.
You're going to work. This is not home. This is you getting up and you have a job to do. And your job is to get the best education that I'm trying to help you with. And I have to get up, what I have to do to go to work. You have to get up and do what you have to do. It's teamwork, honey. It's teamwork.
Right.
I hope that's
right. What do you do to motivate your students? What do to motivate your students?
Well, I constantly have private conversations with them. I'm always on, like, private text with them, and I'm like, hey, you didn't log on today. What's going on? And, you know, and then they tell me so much I don't want to know.
Right.
So much I want to know. I'm telling you, it is bad. Some of the stuff that the kids tell me was happening at home and everything, and then I have to report it. So what I do to motivate them, a lot of the kids, if they were not successful with me the first marking period, I make a deal with them. I'll say to them, okay, or Bobby or whatever your name is, I realized that the first marking period, we didn't have success. And I don't say you fail. I'm like, we weren't successful. All right. I try not to use any negative words to the kids, because too many negatives sometimes to me.
Right.
So I said, but
I'll make a deal with you. If you do this, this, and this, I will get you to a passing grade the first month. But you have to work and get this grade. And a lot of the kids are responding. They're responding to it. Because they realize that, okay, it's not a lost cause. And another thing that I didn't give up on them, I still think that they could do it. And half the, I'm telling you, with kids, this is my experience for 30 years. If you think they could do it, they will rise to the occasion. You have to believe in them.
Right, that's just like anybody. That's like us, exactly. Like adults. We all have that same energy. You know, if you are positive with us, we're going to be positive with you, and we're getting positive energy. So, yeah, I agree with that. Yeah.
They always tell me, why do you think I could do it? I was like, because you are. And then my attitude is, you know, I am so lucky. I get the best students in the building every year. I don't know why I'm so lucky. And that's what I always say that to them. I constantly say that to them. That's why I'm telling you, remote teaching has a negative effect on teachers, too. I even had to write a poem about it. I was so devastated.
Right, right. Let's hold. We have some more callers, and they may have some questions for you, so I just want you to be able to answer some questions for them,
no,
okay?
No problem.
Okay.
Okay. Let's take a call. I know we have one caller that's already on who will be speaking with us later. That's a wonderful sister from the shelter. So we also have another caller from a 917 number. So let me bring them in now and see.
Okay.
Assalamu alaikum. Thank you for calling the show. Did you want to chime in on what we're talking about this evening?
Yes. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. First, I want to say thank you all for this. This is amazing. I didn't know it existed. I'm so grateful that Tiffany Seth reached out and sent it to me. But I wanted to chime in and basically piggyback on Sister Marcia's comments about what children, what motivation, right? Children, I have a master's in education. Not that it matters. I'm just letting you all know that from that perspective. Hope. Right, she touched on hope, making children hopeful, right? I mean, and we as adults, like we all said, we as adults know that too. We need hope, you know. We need hope, and that motivates us. That's a motivational thing. That's a motivational technique. And the other thing for parents and students and parents and teachers alike, and a lot of people fall through the cracks because there's so many different learning styles. And so, yes, getting them out of bed, that's a part of it. Like, environment plays a key, feeling safe, and all that stuff is a motivational tool for children. But we also need to figure out our children's learning style. So parents can go on, and they have learning style quizzes, so many different learning style quizzes out there for free. You can go on and just kind of, is he a tactile learner? Is he or she more like this? Audio visual, what is it that I can do to help with this? And then we have to also take into consideration that some parents just don't have the time, right? So we have that when children are in school, we have some parents who are very active and some parents who aren't, right? So we have to take all that into consideration. So it goes back to, like Sister Marcia said, she reaches out to her students, doing those one-on-ones. And for the parents who kind of are too busy, if they can now really tap into the teachers, this is when that tag team is more imperative than anything, than at any time before, you know, because a lot of students will fall through the cracks. But hope and learning style quizzes, I think, would be very helpful.
Yes, yes, definitely. Thank you so much for your input. It's much appreciated. And with that being said, Hasana, I know you wanted to talk about your girls because they're in high school and college. So what is their motivation to keep going?
Thank you so much for asking that. I think this is such a wonderful topic, Nisa, and our educators are really giving us some good insight. For me, I have three daughters. Two are in college and one daughters in high school. And so my oldest is just very driven, self-motivated. This is like, you know, a challenge that she welcomes. But for the other two, especially my middle daughter, she actually, last year was her first year in college. She was ready to, you know, she moved. And then suddenly, you know, before the end of the school year, she had to up and just pack up her things and leave. We actually just picked up her things from DC. And so, you know, it is really difficult for her to stay motivated. It's just kind of like, why even bother? I'm not getting that experience. I'm not on campus. I'm not, you know, I'm not with the friends I was trying to make. I feel like I'm back in high school. And then we also my youngest daughter, who this is her senior year in high school. And then you know how it is with senior year. There's like all these things that you look forward to. And, you know, all she's doing is she's, you know, being in her room. So it is really, it's very difficult. And I, you know, keeping them motivated, especially for the older kids, you would think, oh, they're older. They already, you know, they're already self-sufficient, but they still need that motivation. And then, you know, me working from home and then trying to make sure that, you know, everybody's on point. It is really, it's very difficult to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very hard for the kids right now. It's hard for everyone. Parents, children, it's really, really difficult. I just hope that everyone gets through it. And these kids, you know, I really want them to get the experience that we all had. You know, we got to go to school and certain things and go out after school. And, you know, so a lot of children who are going to other grades, they're not getting the full experience, like your daughter going to college, not getting that campus experience that she wanted. You know, it's really hard for all of us, but we just got to stick in there and kind of wait this thing out, you know. It's just that's the only thing we can really do.
And read things like this, so you bring them to the awareness, this helps.
Yes, and I think also as parents, you know, you can do outside activities, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I guess whatever's open you can find in your neighborhood, you know. But maybe like go out for lunch or go out for dinner or something like that, a walk, a bike ride. You know, just so that they can get out of the house, too. You know, being stuck in a house all day can't be healthy. I mean, for me, working from home, sometimes I get shell shock. I'm like, I got to get out of this house.
Yeah.
It's just very difficult. So let's take one more caller before we go back to Marcia, because she has something that she added to that's going to show us how it affects parents and children.
Absolutely. We have a brand new caller with a 347 area code. I'm going to bring them in now. Assalamu alaikum. Did you want to give some input?
Wa alaikum salam. This is Afaf. I actually called him last week. I'm a teacher in the New York City Board of Education system.
Yes.
And I'm also a parent.
Assalamu alaikum. Thank you for calling again. I'm so glad you called again.
Wa alaikum salam. So I came in at the tail end and I heard you guys discussing trying to balance homeschooling and working and the socio-emotional component. And the last thing I heard Nisa say is actually something I think is very, very important in terms of with us being home now and this part of our new normal, we have to make sure that we're taking care of ourselves emotionally, mentally, and even physically, because I find myself staying in the house more that I don't even want to leave as much. And if anybody knows me, knows I'm in the streets, you know.
Right.
And
right.
It just almost put us in a position where we've gotten so used to being home that the regular things that we loved and enjoyed seem so foreign now. But we have to continue to tap into those things because it's not natural for us to be in the house all the time. It's not natural.
Right.
It's not healthy. And so
right.
Even the kids, letting them go out every single day, we've passed on our paranoia to them. They don't even want to go outside. They're concerned it's COVID. I don't want to touch anything. I don't want to be near anyone. So we have to develop a new normal that is healthy for everyone while still trying to conform to some of the rules that they have in terms of social distancing and wearing a mask. And even gym, you know, the children, it wasn't until high school that the kids stopped liking to go to gym. But in elementary school and junior high school, my students never want me to take them from those classes because that's their time to let out energy, to talk to their friends. You know, this is very important. And I notice even with my daughter, the number one thing that she complains about is not having social time with her friends. Just to chill and to talk, you know, it's just you come online, you do the work, and then that's it, you know. So Mm-hmm. I think that's something that we have to definitely be mindful of and make sure that we're penciling into our schedule on the weekend, going for a walk every other day, because our children need to see us being healthy so that they can mm-hmm. learn to be healthy too under these new conditions that we're living.
Very true, very true, very true. We have to really get out of the homebodiness, you know, that we all probably craved when we were at work. We just wanted to be home. When we were at school, we just wanted to be home. But now we're just home. We can't get stuck here, you know. We have to get out. We need the air. We can wear our masks, but we still need to get out. We need to be social. We need to be able to breathe fresh air. You know, it's just our mind is going to go, you know, just like when we went to paint night. It was such a good feeling to just be around sisters. I didn't know what to do with myself.
Exactly.
It was just,
you didn't want to go home. We was
no,
to like,
it was so
midnight,
nice, you know.
It was fun. Our husband was like, "You sure you just did paint night?" We
right. My husband said, "Mine looked like I bought it from a store," so you know. But okay, so let's go back to Marcia real quick, because Marcia had a poem that she had written, and I really wanted to hear it. So, Marcia, are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here. I just wanted everyone to realize something else. I enjoyed listening to all of you. I like this sisterhood. I think it's a wonderful thing. Nisa, you're doing a great job. And I think I'm going to become a regular listener on your program. Thank you for having me.
You're going to have some good topics, girl.
I know. So listen, I wanted you guys to realize that the students are definitely affected, but I want you to know the teachers are affected too. I was in my school, and one day I didn't know what to do, and I started thinking, oh, my God, all this silence. So I wrote a poem called Silence.
Mm-hmm.
Walking down the hallways, sitting in the classroom, silence. Going to the cafeteria, passing by the gym, silence. Hollow, empty building where laughter and joy once lived. Education has changed. Lonely, selfish, closed the doors with teachers all masked up just to sit before multiple computer screens trying to drown the deafening sound of silence. We want your kids back is what I want to say. I love them and I want them back. All the teachers do. So don't think that the teachers are not adversely affected by this also. We're also affected.
Right.
When my principal read this poem at a faculty meeting, and the teachers started crying because they all had the similar, they were like, oh my gosh, we feel like
this. You said what they were feeling. Yes. Yes,
now,
I'm sure the children miss the teachers as much too.
Yes, we love your kids. We're only here because we want them. If we didn't want this, we wouldn't be here, at least me. So let me tell you something. Wait till we go back to whatever it is. But in the meantime, remember that book that Yana Venza wrote a couple of years ago?
Mm-hmm.
It's called In the Meantime. We don't just crumble and fall. In the meantime, we have to do the best we can, because society is going to judge our children on the same barometer as every other kid that went to school every single day during COVID.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's right. So push.
Yeah.
Through, we can't give up. We have to push.
We're going to go to, thank you so much, Marcia. We're going to go to, I believe, the sister with the 267 calling regarding the shelter.
Okay, you want to have me bring her in now?
Yeah, she's been on hold for a while, so I just wanted her to chime in and give her input if she wants on virtual learning, but also speak about her shelter and let us know where she's calling from. And then we'll get to the other callers.
Assalamu alaikum, you're on the air. Thank you so much for calling. Hello, can you hear us? Thank you for calling. Okay, well, are you there?
It looks like it's another 267 number at the bottom. Maybe it's people back from a different one.
So this is 67456 number.
Yes, assalamu alaikum. Thank you for calling.
Hi, how are you?
Good, you're on the air.
Oh, yes. I wanted to talk about Anissa. It's a relocation poster located in the state of Ohio.
Ohio. Okay. So let us know more about the program and your name. Mm-hmm.
Okay. My name is Samira. The program name is Anissa Safe Haven. It's just like any other shelter. We provide job readiness, housing assistance, counseling, transportation for those who need it. It's exclusively for single Muslim women. They can pray there. There's no dietary restrictions. They can still hold on to the Islam without, no judgment. We focus on domestic violence, drug and alcohol recovery, mental health, and homelessness.
Oh, that's wonderful. How long have you guys been around?
Since 2006, but now we just restricted. Instead of dealing with just women, it's now just for Muslim women alone.
Okay, what changed for you guys?
Oh, well, now during COVID and everything that's been changing, and it's like homelessness and domestic violence is happening behind closed doors with everything being remote, I feel like it's time for Muslim women to be able to have a place to go instead of having to go to a kaf or a kufar and having dietary restriction when they have to, abide by their rules or be treated poorly or have to go to church in order to have shelter.
Okay, that's very nice.
Mm-hmm.
What's the number of beds you said you have?
Oh, the crisis line is 24 hours. You can call anytime. It's 267-456-4625.
Say the number one more time.
267-456-4625.
It's called Al-Nisa.
Yes,
Safe Haven.
Yes.
How many beds you guys have?
Well, we have two houses, actually. So right now, one house can hold up to 10 people, and the other one can hold up to 14 people.
Okay, and what's the capacity you guys are at now?
Well, right now, it's due to COVID, it's like one to every other room to make sure that, is spreading germs or whatever. So, yeah, it's kind of... Mm-hmm. Outside, yeah.
That's very good. Where do you guys get your funding from? The Masjid, or are you privately funded?
No, it's privately owned, it's privately funded. The director actually decided to use his homes in order to house the Muslim single women.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Nice. Okay.
It's
so
a beautiful home and by a lake. Huh?
We're going to definitely put it on our site.
Oh, okay, inshallah.
Thank you so much for calling.
Is there an age limit for the children for the shelter?
No, it's not an age limit. We try to accommodate everybody's needs.
Okay, good.
If you are under the age of 18 and you're an epistle, huh?
It's single women, right?
Yes.
So like 17 and up or 16 and up?
If you are under the age of 18 and you emancipate it, then you can come. But if you have like any documentation mm-hmm. proving that you can live on your own and it's legal, then mm-hmm. yes. But if you are coming with your parent, yes, it could be 18 and younger. We'll accommodate their needs, inshallah.
Okay. Okay. Thank you so much. We're gonna reach out to you just to get more information to put on a site. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Hassan, I think we have
another call. Yeah, 917 number, and
mm-hmm.
she wanted to share some ideas with us. So let me bring. Okay. I'm going to bring her in now. Assalamu alaikum. You're on the air.
Oh, wa alaikum assalam. I'm so sorry that I had to call back, but the sister, I think her name was Anissa. I'm not sure. I'm so sorry. She spoke earlier about her daughter in college, and I just wanted to say one. I'm sorry. Hasana. Thank you.
Yeah, that was me.
Oh, okay. About your daughter in college, and I wanted to say, so it's important that we remind, well, this is a great reminder for all of us, by the way, just the experience, and about verily with the hardship comes relief, right? So you all had, we all feel, when we were in, we were working, we didn't want to be at work. When we were there, the children, too many children. Now it's not enough children. Right, so this is going to inshallah send us back with a brighter mindset when we return to work. Alhamdulillah. And then the other thing was the practical advice was making a list for the children. Okay, so school isn't the college experience in particular, but it's going away to college, the interaction, the human piece of it. Right, that's part of it. But then college itself offers so many other things to us. So if we see it on paper, and one of the aspects is the social interaction, when you see that you're still getting X and Y and Z, W doesn't weigh as heavily. It's still heavy, right? It's still heavy. But you can then visually see, okay, there's so many other things that I'm still getting from this experience. And that might uplift her spirit. If she sees let's write it out. I'm sorry.
That's great advice.
No, yeah, we're disagreeing with you. We're disagreeing with you, yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. My son started talking in the back. Okay, thank you so much. Again, I appreciate me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you all tremendously for this show. This is amazing. Assalamu alaikum.
I love
you, Kat. Thank you.
I think a five. Are you still on the line?
Yes, I'm still here.
What are you doing with your college students? How are they hoping? How are they staying motivated?
So I don't actually have college students. I work with students from kindergarten to 12th grade.
No, I mean your children. Sorry. Children.
Sorry. Well, for Tahira, this is actually her last semester of school, and she was supposed to have the externship to finish up. She's doing, what's up? Okay, I'm having mommy moment. I cannot remember. She's doing, paralegal. So she was supposed to have an internship. So it kept getting pushed back. And so finally she's doing it now, and they're remote, but she doesn't feel like she's having the same experience that she would have had if it wasn't remote. So this has been difficult for her. And she didn't want this to be, you know, for her last semester, for it to be remote. She wanted to have a full experience. I'm a graduate. I want to participate in these different things. So it's really an adjustment, you know. But I think she's making the best of it because she's going to finish college. So, you know, but I have other friends who started college who were supposed to have their children go and live on dorms. And due to COVID, they haven't been able to. And I think some of them are getting a little bit discouraged because the thing about going away to college was supposed to be, you know, the next stage in their life of being independent and having
and becoming an adult.
And not being able to interact with other people who are their age. They kind of feel stuck. They still feel like they're in limbo, still in high school. They don't feel like they're having the true college experience. So, it's been difficult for them. It's been difficult. But everyone is just trying to make the adjustments. And some parents feel like, you know, I want my children to go on campus, but am I really willing to take the risk? And that's the other issue that the DOE is dealing with, too. All of the parents want the kids to go back, but as soon as the kids start getting sick, they're going to blame the DOE. So it's always like a catch-22 in terms of what do we do to accommodate everyone and to be safe.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, I think we have another caller, 862 number.
Let's take a look, because I know I just spoke with someone who said they just wanted to listen in. So, there was a 513. There's an 862 number. Let's see what they have to say. Hold on one moment, and let's bring them in. Assalamu alaikum. You're on the air, and thank you for calling. Did you want to chime in today?
Wa alaikum salam. I'm just listening in.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for listening. And I'll go ahead and put you back on mute. Thank you for listening.
Okay. Marcia, are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
You stated that you had a college student too, right? One of your children?
She's a graduate. She's out of school. She's working.
She's working remotely.
Yeah.
Okay.
She went to school in D.C., so I understood the parent that was online because D.C.
Oh, my God.
Wonderful.
What school does she go to?
Howard.
Oh, my daughter goes to GW.
Howard? Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, GW. That's
so she just graduated?
W2.
She just graduated, Marcia?
2016.
Okay. So she didn't have to experience this whole virtual learning thing. Okay.
No, this is her problem. Her problem now is the fact that she likes to go on vacation once a month because these kids nowadays, they feel so entitled. They figured they did everything they were supposed to. They went to work. They went to school. They did it. So they live at home, and then they feel they need to travel every month, her and her friends. So this is really, that's her. She has no problems.
That's my problem.
People
too,
have
so
no problem.
I feel her. That's my problem.
You agree with that?
Yes, I agree with her. Yes. Because I miss my travel moment. I would have been three places already. And I haven't gone anywhere. So I think that the ideas that people gave us for the children were very helpful, the resources and, just everyone's input was very, very helpful. We have a lot of callers. I'm so thankful for that as well. Does anyone else have anything else to share? Any last words?
I think this has been a really great this has been a wonderful discussion, is talking about not only from the perspective of educators, but also, as parents. And if any of you have students that aren't shy and you want them to call in and talk about their experience, we still have some time left in the show. So we would, we still love to hear from you. But I think that this is just so important to have this discussion because I know, a lot of parents probably feel very alone in this and dealing with their children. So this is a great discussion, Lisa.
Yes, I agree. I think that for the parents working from home, we also have to find ways of coping because, even though I don't have any children, just like I said, being in the house, not being able to travel, it wasn't getting to me the first few months because I was so happy to be home. So happy and so grateful, to still be able to work, alhamdulillah. But I needed to get out. I don't like being trapped in New York because I don't really, like New York like that, even though I was born and raised here. But I want to get out every now and again, So I just started doing things like, going bike riding and taking walks, but mainly going bike riding to the boardwalk and just sitting there watching the sunset. It was so wonderful to be able to do, getting off work on time for a change. So we just have to find ways to, do self-care, like Afaf was mentioning too. We got to be able to do things that keep our mind, sane. So
if I could have, I know you, it may not be the last word, but I just want to reiterate the two things I did said before. And that is, just to remind everyone, don't forget advocate and electronic documentation. Two most important things. Two of the most important things in making sure that your learner is on top of everything and that your school system is also doing their part.
Yeah.
Just wanted to.
Yeah, definitely. I think my niece
she logs in, but she says that she doesn't have to log in every day. I don't know if that's true or not, but she gets her work done. I mean, she gets the work done. She hands it in. She did very well the first semester. I was like, oh, okay, so it's not as bad as I guess she thought it was going to be. But I guess some children are learning how to cope with it. She doesn't have to log in every day. She loves that. She loves being home. She loves doing the virtual learning. She just does her work, hands it in, and she's done for the day. I'm looking at her like, you finished? She's like, yeah. So I guess that for some students it's easy, but for others, their parents definitely have to stay on top. Definitely have to stay on top.
Let's see if we have any more callers. I have nope. If anyone didn't get a chance to speak, there's still time. You can call in. The calling number is 516-387-1905.
Yes, and some people are saying they're having a hard time clicking on the link. I'm not sure if that's because a lot of people are listening and called in, but just keep trying. We'd love to hear from you. You know, if you just want to listen, just keep trying to click on the link that says listen. Or if you want to call, you can just call the number 516-387-1905. And, you know, let's talk.
Yeah,
right,
this is
Hasna, your girl. Mm-hmm. Your girls don't want to say anything about their experience?
No, oh gosh. But I think you brought up a really good point, and you know, the sister brought up a great point also about keeping the kids engaged. Because I know the good thing about my youngest daughter, who is still in high school, this is her senior year, and of course they don't have all the activities, but she's on the student organization. She's still, you know, they still try to keep them engaged with activities, and you know, and the sister that mentioned the advocacy, that is so. So important, you know, to advocate for your children, and it's so important, and it doesn't stop. You know, as she mentioned, you think, oh, well, as they get older, you know, they're kind of more on their own, but it never stops, and we always mm-hmm. have to be our children's biggest advocate. So I think that's such a great point that was made.
That's right. Marcia, I did want to ask you a question. Are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay, so last week we were talking, and you said you work in the Bronx, right? Or Yonkers?
Yonkers.
Yeah. Yonkers. And the population is more Hispanic, right?
67% to 70%.
Okay. Do you feel that they're getting the help that they need in order to navigate the virtual learning?
I don't want to lose my job.
No. We don't want to say the school you're working at. We don't want to say the school you're working at. We just want to know, like, you know, because it is a big thing, I think. People who don't speak English, like their first language is not English, I think that's a big issue.
This is what I'm going to answer.
Okay.
I'm going to say that the majority of my students, they're not taxpayers.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of, they, you know, property taxes is what pay the school system.
Right. Mm-hmm.
If the children whose parents own property in the district send their kids to private school, you get where I'm going with that? Maybe
yeah.
not
mm-hmm.
every single
mm-hmm.
property is available to the kids who rent and don't contribute to mm-hmm. that. Part of the role, the tax role. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
School system is funded by property taxes. And that's the problem that we have in communities where we have a lot of people of color, a lot of immigrants, migrant people, many people. We're online and we're saying that there's definitely a gap between the rich and the poor, and we see it now during COVID more than ever.
Right.
I want to examine the areas where people are having success, where all their resources are available, and I want you to look at how money is paid in their property taxes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
there's a direct correlation to how much the people in the district pay in taxes and how many of them rent versus own.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where that's a big part of where the breakdown happens.
Right. Because I've also been hearing on the news about children that live in a shelter. Now, I used to work mm-hmm. for ACS. And
oh, my God.
There's a lot of families in the shelter. And their children, yeah, I worked in the educational neglect part. And the children were struggling in school because the parents weren't on top of it then. So imagine now that the children have to be home with them and doing virtual learning. They're definitely not going to be on top of it. And the schools, I don't believe, or the teachers are going to really pay attention to those students who are struggling anyway.
What they're trying to do now is get the shelters Wi-Fi. A lot of the
mm-hmm.
shelters didn't have
mm-hmm.
one.
Mm-hmm.
And you're in a shelter, do you have a device?
Right.
So then there you go again with the breakdown.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And this is
at the end of the day, it's about money.
It comes down to dollars and cents. And this
right.
is why we have to push our children to get the best education they can
mm-hmm.
under any circumstance they can. There's a difficult time right now, but guess what happened? Everyone's facing a difficult time.
Yes.
Even if you are privileged, it's a different kind of difficult.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone is experiencing something. We can't let this beat us. We are a strong race of people. And can get through this. There's nothing that could take us away from being successful. We are coming from a line of kings and queens. And as kings and queens, we need to raise up and recognize where we belong and our lineage and act accordingly.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Thank you so much, Marcia, for calling in for a second week. And we look forward to having you on our future show, too. We just want to bring up the resource again called, what was the name of it again? Quarantine.
I think
Quarantine Tutors. Tutors, yes. QuarantineTutors.org. Marcia says it's free. It's a good resource for your students if they're struggling. Also, we wanted to bring up the sister who called from Ohio, Alnisa Safe Haven, number 267-456-4625. That's a great resource for anyone who's out in Ohio who needs a women's shelter. We also thank you for calling, and we look forward to hearing from you guys next week. It looks like someone just called in to say something. Is that right?
That is, but I think we're out of time, unfortunately. I mean, if you would like, I can certainly bring them in quickly. Thank
okay,
you for calling.
Did
you want to make a quick comment? Yeah, they most likely probably wanted to listen in. So,
right. Or they're having a hard time getting on. Okay. Well, thank you again, everyone. Assalamu alaikum. We appreciate you, and we'll see you next week. Next week's topic will be on and relationships. I mean, hey, have you gotten closer? Have you gotten more distant from a loved one or your children? Have they been getting on your nerves more? Or less. It's a bonding time for you. So we're going to talk about it next week at 6:30. We see you then. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum, everyone.